Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Swung. On the second pitch he sees, goes deep again. Colton Wong, another leadoff homer for him.
The Mariners recently acquired, as of 3 days ago, Colton Wong from the Brewers for Jesse Winker and Abraham Toro, a trade that lands them their second baseman in 2023. Colton Wong joins us now on the Emerald Creek Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Colton, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
We are well. We're so excited to talk to you. Very excited to see this Mariners team continue to add. Had you spent much time in Seattle?
I have not. Obviously, the only time I've been to Seattle is when we were playing there. So,
right.
Obviously, really loved the city. Thought it was a beautiful place, but you know, didn't have much time to go out and explore. So, I'm excited now.
Hey, Colton, I just want to point out I was born in Hawaii, so we're pretty much related. Just want to throw that out.
Okay. What island?
I was born in Honolulu. Just Marines.
Nice.
You know, I'm a
I didn't know you were
military
born in
baby.
Hawaii.
Yeah, I was only there for like 3 years.
How did I know Colton was born in Hawaii, but not you?
Because I don't rep it. I was only there for 3 years, so, you know, I don't really rep it. But, man, I was reading up on your dad and your relationship with him, how he teamed up with the guy. You guys got, he got a gym, used to swing an axe to work on your core, man. What was it like, you know, having a dad who played the game and was able just to help you develop?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was amazing for me. You know, growing up in Hilo, we didn't really have amenities and things that, you know, kids in California, Arizona, you know, or just around the world had, you know. So my dad was very, you know, he's called old school training. But, you know, I just figure, you know, when you're grabbing an axe at 10, 11 years old and doing that, it's pretty impressive.
I like that old school training.
You know, yeah. And then, you know, as you got older, you started to feel like you were getting stronger and stronger. And it's like, okay, you know, this is working. So my dad always had little tricks up his sleeve. And, you know, even to today, he still has a few things that he shows me. I'm like, oh, wow. You know, definitely old school, but it's working. So
it's awesome. Hey, Colton, what have the Mariners told you about your role here and kind of their plans for you and where you fit in?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously I don't really know the exact role I'll be doing. Obviously, second base is a key thing to me. But, you know, looking at what Dylan did last year, second base in the platoon that we could possibly have, you know, I'm excited for that. Obviously, you know, you want to be a guy that's playing every day. But, you know, in this day and age and how the game's going, I think you got to understand your role as a player and as a person. And for me, I just want to come into this team and do my part. You know, whatever that is, whatever they want me to do, you know, I want to just be able to be there to, you know, help some of the young guys, kind of, you know, help them through, you know, their early stages of you know, big league baseball, but also kind of be the guy to be able to fill in the spots that the Mariners need, you know, whether it's, you know, coming in to play defense late or, you know, playing against only righties, whatever I have to do, you know, I'm excited to just come in and be able to help this team.
Colton, obviously you were focused on your season last year, but what did you hear about these Mariners and what made them attractive to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the excitement. You know, obviously you're seeing how young that team is and, you know, you're seeing the pitching staff that team possesses and, you know, and that run, you know, you guys made in the playoffs last year. I think everybody, you know, in the big leagues was kind of paying attention to it because you always knew that the Mariners were, you know, a fun team to root for, you know, especially for me, especially being a West Coast kid, that was, you know, one of my favorite teams. So, you know, I always kind of kept tabs on them and, you know, see you guys go on the run and then, you know, you see Julio and what he did and, you know, just the excitement that's around that team right now. I just wanted to be a part of it and, you know, I was really, really excited when I found out that I was getting traded to Seattle.
What teams did you grow up rooting for?
So it was usually, I was a big Giants fan and a Braves fan just because TBS.
Yeah.
TBS was on my grandma's all the time. And, you know, when my parents were at work, I'd be sitting on there, the only kid sitting in front of the TV just watching Braves baseball. So those are my two favorite teams.
Did you grow up playing any other sports or was it just strictly baseball?
No, yeah, so I grew up playing football and ran track.
What position did you play in football?
Tailback.
Hey, let's go. So you got some wiggle to you then, huh?
Yeah, that and, you know, I was really good at just hiding behind the big guys and just taking my time.
Well, You guys really are. Bump, I think you guys really are related.
I'm telling you, somewhere down the line.
This is crazy. Long lost cousins. This blows my mind. Hey, Colton, we do want to talk a bit more about your role with Seattle and how you view the Mariners, but it's also a chance just to get to know you. Obviously, you're a longtime veteran in the league, but for Seattle Mariners fans, for a lot of them, it's like, all right, well, who's Colton? Let me get to know him. So I'm just going to start with like a simple question. It sounds so basic, but sometimes this is insightful. What are you watching right now? Like, what do you do in your free time?
You know, I'm usually back home in Hawaii. I try to come here for at least a month and a half, 2 months. I always tend to come back just because, you know, when you're in the mainland and in the big league atmosphere, you know, I like to come back and get grounded and kind of get brought back down, you know, where I'm from, get back to my roots and, you know, restart, I will say. So back here, enjoying my time, training with my dad. I always do that at the start of the season. And I'll tend to work my way back to Arizona, you know, in a couple of days and really get after it and fine tune everything for the season. So, yeah, just enjoying right now.
When's going to be like your first time in Seattle as a Mariner? Are you just going to wait until the season starts? You going to come check it out? What's that process like?
I think I'm just going to have to see it when we get there, start the season. You know, it's just like, I would love to make it up there earlier, but my wife is actually pregnant and we're expecting our second child in March. So dad's not going to really have much time to go around and have fun this time, but you know, hopefully this is longer than a 1 year stint where I can, you know, really enjoy Seattle. We'll see how it goes.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats.
I'm a father myself. And
thank you.
You don't want to be up here right now anyway. It's cold as heck. It's snowing. You're right where you need to be, Colton. Stay in that good weather.
I thought you were going to give father of two advice. Nah. Bump's got three. I thought you were about to be like, hey, it's going to get busy. Instead, you're like, no, stay where you are.
Stay there.
Yeah. All I know is just use your family. That's the biggest thing I've been learning so far. Is like, man, having a family to help you with kids is incredible. So we try to take advantage when we're off season. That's for sure.
Do you know if you're gonna if your family is gonna be able to? Is it easier for your family now to go to T-Mobile to Mariners games, or is it kind of tough either way? Yeah.
Yeah. Once that trade was finalized, my phone was blowing up with all members, friends here in Hawaii. You know, and just kind of like walking around town now. There's so many Mariner fans here, and like everyone's like excited. You know, coming with me. You know, telling me they're excited to come watch me play this and that. So, you know, it's pretty fun. I was in the Midwest, kind of away from Hawaii, you know, where guys didn't really want to make that trip. So now everybody has the ability to be on the West Coast, kind of come see me. So I think there's going to be a big Hawaiian presence, you know, during the games and during the season. And I'm excited to see everybody come out.
For sure. That's going to be awesome, man. You've had a long career so far, man. And, you know, a lot of guys get into the league or make it to the show, then they fizzle out. What is it about your game, your mental, that's allowed you to hang around for so long and be productive?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the ability to adapt. I always try to preach that. It's like, you know, the game is constantly evolving. It's constantly changing. And as a player, it's your due diligence to go out there and figure out what teams want, what is the most important thing that teams are focused on, you know? So I'm always trying to figure that out and create my game kind of towards that. I feel like that's kind of how it has to be. You know, you got to kind of play your game towards the masses, and so I've been really trying to focus on that, grow as a player. And but obviously I think the biggest thing is just mentally, you know, just believing in myself more than anything. You know, I always used to tell, I heard like a quote one time where if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will, you know. So it was kind of something that started sticking with me, because when I was a younger guy in the league, I was pretty hard on myself, like any other young kid. You know, you want to come in and you want to be perfect, you want to, you know, do something special and you know, kind of create that wow factor for yourself. But sometimes, you know, that's just not the case. So, you know, I had to learn how to adapt, how to figure out, you know, who I was, what makes me the most consistent player, and continue to stick with that.
Hey, Colton, it's 38 degrees here in Seattle. Why don't you paint us a picture of where you're at right now, man? I mean, what's Hawaii like right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of similar, I guess. It's sunny. You know, nice 82 degree weather, a few clouds in the sky.
Thanks,
I'm sitting right by the beach. And there's nice swells coming in. So, you know, it's pretty similar, I'd say.
Colton, if there's anything I've learned playing with guys from the island, is that, man, it's like a frat. You guys stick together. You guys love each other. The greats kind of interact. Are you close with any of the guys from the island, like Tua, Marcus Mariota? I play with a guy, Jason Gesser. What's that frat like being from the island?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You know, we always try to stick together, keep in contact. You know, Tua, Marcus, like, we're not, you know, best friends by any means, but I know all these guys very well. We talk and communicate and whatnot, constantly are pulling for one another. And, you know, even guys, you know, in the Yankees, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, a lot of other baseball players, you know, like Kirby Yates. You know, you just try to pull for your guys. You know, we know that we're a tight-knit community. We don't have a lot of us out there. So, you know, seeing people from Hawaii to go out and do it and, you know, continue to create this wave and movement for kids back home to believe that you can finally, you know, achieve this dream. That's kind of what it's all about. And I think that's been the common message that, you know, every guy that's in professional sports right now is trying to push is, you know, show these kids that there's another opportunity. Hawaii is a beautiful place, but it's also a tough place because, you know, you can go one or two ways. You know, you can either get off the island or, you know, find a good job or, you know, there's the ability to go, you know, south, you know, and we all know what that is. So I try to promote this as much as I can, continue to try to, you know, push the youth to realize that, you know, yeah, school is important, doing all this, but there's other routes, you know. Everybody wants to be a football player. You know, there's baseball now. You know, basketball is starting to come up, and, you know, there's some soccer players out there. So, you know, we're just trying to continue to show kids in Hawaii there's other routes.
That's awesome. I wanted to get to just a couple questions about the Mariners quickly here while we still have you for just a few minutes. This is a team that not only made the playoffs last year for the first time in 21 years, but has its eyes set on going even further. They are set on a World Series. What's it like to come into a team knowing that, like, hey, no, the plan is really to get to the postseason and your veteran savvy is going to help? I mean, what's that feel like?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, I think that's kind of the goal for every player when they start to get to this point in their careers. You know, we call it ring chasing. You know, you're at the point where you just want to be with a solid team that you know has an ability to go out there, make it to playoff baseball. And once you get there, you know, anything can happen. We all know how that works. And it's all about the hotter team at the time. So, you know, I'm definitely excited. You've seen, you know, Seattle take huge steps last year. You know, so like I said, I want to literally just come in here and do my part. You know, if I got to have the conversations with some young guys or whatever, like, I feel like I know how to do it. I've had, you know, veterans who are able to show me how to do it the right way, you know, not where you're going to come in and try and police guys. You know, it's more about understanding, you know, how can I, you know, get on this guy's level and be able to communicate with him to show him, you know, what I'm trying to get across. Instead of me seeming like an old head, you know, these guys will see me as somebody like, you know, hey, this guy's just trying to help me out. At this point in my career, that's all I want to do. You know, just constantly try and make people better, you know, show kids how to, you know, take that next step to be professional. So I think, you know, me coming in, that's kind of my role, but also whatever I have to do. You know, if they need me to come in and put a bunt down the ninth inning, I promise you I'll come in and give everything I got to put that bunt down the ninth inning. And there's no, I guess there's nothing with me. You know, I don't really have an attitude. I just like to go out there and compete and give it my all and see how it goes.
Colton, have you heard anything about the culture in the clubhouse here with the Mariners? I've watched many teams over the years, and this team seems relaxed. They seem like they really like each other. And how do you think you'll fit into that situation?
Yeah, I mean, I know Marco Gonzalez pretty well. You know, he was with the Cardinals, and when he was a rookie, he came up. So I was there with him when he made his debut. And so I mean, I'm definitely excited to come in. I talked to him a little bit about the culture and what it's about. And, you know, it's one of those things where I'm just going to come in and kind of sit back and, you know, just evaluate the whole thing, try and make sure that I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, make sure that, you know, I'm not ruining the vibe for anybody. I just want to, you know, come in and be another part of this team. You know, whatever that means is, you know, as long as we're continuing to get better and play good baseball, that's really all I'm worried about.
Hey, Colton, who are some guys in your career who have helped you get to where you're at?
I'd say the biggest guy for me was John Jay, the first base coach for the Marlins now. He was like my bigger brother when I first got up with the Cardinals. Helped me out tremendously, you know, just an understanding, you know, I guess the business side, but also just the mental side, you know, learning and constantly figuring out. He was a player like me, you know, a grinder, somebody who grinded for his 10 years. And, you know, now he's a coach and trying to get back. So I'm just trying to continue to learn from him. Jason Hare was another big guy that helped me out. I mean, there's countless other guys, Matt Holliday, you know, all the Cardinals, Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina. I got a chance to pick, you know, some of the greatest players' minds and figure out what made them, you know, so good, so consistent. So, you know, I feel like those guys have helped me tremendously in just becoming a better, you know, baseball player, not just playing the game, but knowing how to play it the right way.
Colton, last one I got for you. You know, I'm a football guy, played football growing up. Who was your favorite football team growing up, especially being out there on the island?
Yeah, favorite football team growing up was the San Diego Chargers. When I was growing up, I had the chance to do punt, pass, and kick.
Nice.
And we did it in old Qualcomm Stadium. So I got a chance to watch Junior Seau, Doug Flutie, and you know, as a kid from Hawaii growing up, Junior Seau is like your god, you know. So getting a chance to see him come out and do his thing, and seeing Doug Flutie do, you know, sling the ball, being basically my height that I am now, you know, it was incredible to watch. And but ever since they moved to LA, I kind of lost that love for him. I was like, you know what? So I'm a free agent now, so you know, Seattle could definitely be on the market, I'd say.
That's great. I'm sure Seahawks fans very happy to hear that. Junior Seau, I immediately thought of when you said it.
Sure.
Colton, I am telling you right now, listeners on our text line are so excited. Love this guy. A message from multiple numbers. Mariners fans, awesome. So happy to have you. You enjoy the rest of the offseason. Congratulations from both Bump and myself on the new baby. We will see you here when you get here in the spring.
Thanks, Colton.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Colton. He is Mariners second baseman Colton Wong, kind enough to join us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, currently enjoying some nice Hawaii weather.
Good vibes.
You guys have so much in common. I'm like kind of left out right now. And Curtis, you know how I hate
I'm
that.
I'm pretty sure he's my third cousin.
Like, I'm really upset that you and Colton became fast friends. Stacey's, and I feel like I was kind of bumped to the side.
Stacey's going to try to get me to book somebody who was born and raised in SeaTac at some point. Just so you can be like,
can we find someone who was born and raised in SeaTac?
What's your favorite airport parking spot?
Oh, my God. No, I also park at the Denny's and not Master Park because everyone knows.
The Double Tree
out there? No, that's too far away from
it's
the airport. There's a lot of places. Trust. Anyone needs parking advice for SeaTac? I gotcha. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number one, Michael Penix Jr. announcing on social media last night he'll be returning to Washington for the 2023 season. What's the real headline?
Are you sure about that? That's a big decision to make, Michael. Now, I, a Husky fan, very, very excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I, just a person who admires people more courageous than I am, can recognize and admire him betting on himself. Right? Very cool to do. As a Husky fan and as someone who admires Michael Penix, I am worried that he's going to be hurt. And I want him to make the most money he possibly can from his career. I hope that this path is rewarding for him.
I got three reactions.
Yes.
As a Cougs fan, come on, man. God dang it. Okay, that's my Cougs reaction. As a college fan, I get it. Raise your stock, right? You should be in consideration for the Heisman next year. As a businessman, I'm thinking he better be getting paid some NIL money
because if not,
go ahead and make your millions. Either way, you got to respect the man's decision. It's his life. He does what he wants to do. As a Cougs fan, this one hurts.
I love that. I love that reaction because it just makes me feel even better about Washington for 2023. Let's hope the defense can shore up even more.
Imagine being a Cougs fan.
Yeah.
Covering the game.
Yep.
And then having to shake his hand and congratulate him
afterwards.
And you're
just clenching your teeth.
I respect it because you are a baller, but I'm looking behind me at the scoreboard like, you have to do us like that, though?
God, why, Michael?
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two. 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo suffering a broken ankle yesterday. He's done for the season. What's the real headline?
Maybe we see Baker Mayfield in the NFC West after all.
Nah.
Now, this isn't hype train. We don't do that until tomorrow. Do either of you think we see Baker on the 49ers?
Nah, I don't think so. I think they're going to roll with Purdy. Is that his name, Purdy?
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy going to roll with Purdy and see what happens. Or get Fitzpatrick. You know, get Jacob Eason over there. Hey, go ahead and call Fitzpatrick. Phillip Rivers, yeah.
You would rather have Phillip Rivers out of retirement, Fitzpatrick right off the Amazon Prime broadcast of Thursday Night Football than have Baker Mayfield as like a third string guy?
Facts.
What? No, you wouldn't. You're lying. Curtis, you're lying. Both of you are lying. Baker Mayfield has recently suited up for a game.
6 months ago, he was my guy.
I mean, he at least has played within the last couple weeks.
Nah, I'm playing. Like, obviously, you would take Baker over those guys. But I think they got to roll. I think they roll with Purdy, man. Give him at least a week or two to see what he can do.
I do, just for the sake of him being the last pick in the draft, want to see him get a chance and get a shot. It's the same reason I felt for what's his name? Tony Jones?
Yeah.
Being in the game.
Tony Jones Jr.
Being in the game yesterday, not the last pick in the draft, but a player where you're like, I don't know how many chances you're going to get. I want a touchdown for you more than I want anything in the world.
Underdogs, man. You always root for underdogs.
Always. Next up.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three. Hot stove burning up today. We saw Trey Turner sign with the Phillies. 11 years, $300 million. Justin Verlander got it kicked off. 2 years, $85 million with the Mets. What's the real headline?
Guess not everyone's waiting to make a splash. Only the Mariners would jump in now. Now, the good news is that Justin Verlander not only out of the American League, but certainly out of the AL West, which is great. He was the best pitcher on Houston's staff. The bad news is Houston's still phenomenal, and they made their lineup even better this offseason.
Mariners haven't made a splash, but, you know, they're in the pool. The feet are in the pool.
I would qualify Teoscar Hernandez as, like, a splash. Not like a cannonball into the deep end, but as a splash.
Yeah, I feel that. And then the Colton Wong move, it makes sense. Everything they've done has made sense, I feel like. It just hasn't been the big acquisition that you're hoping for.
I'm so obsessed with Colton Wong after our interview. What did you guys think?
Hey.
Incredible vibes.
Dude, vibes are immaculate.
You know, when we meet up for our family reunion.
You and Colton, your cousin Colton.
Next summer, you know.
You guys are hitting the rip curl.
Yeah, we'll be vibing out, you know.
I didn't know you were born in Hawaii.
You didn't know that?
That just blow your mind
right now. Know that?
Yeah, I knew that.
How did you know that?
Because Bump and I are much closer than you.
That's not true. Me and Bump are best friends forever. I know everything there is to know about Bump. His birthday.
It's funny, the energy
his middle name.
Colton Wong gave off. We've got a lot of people texting him, like, love this kid. Like, this kid sounds so great. He's 32 years old. Like, he's a full-grown man with two kids.
Yes. Like, and also, when he said, you know, being the old head, he was born in 1990.
God.
Younger than everyone in this room except for Curtis Rogers.
Except for me.
But not by much.
No, he's only like 6 months older than me.
He's 6 months younger than me. This is bad news. Horrible news. I don't like it at all. No, he seems like a great culture fit for this team.
Yeah.
And what I like is that this is a Mariners team that is pushing for the playoffs. And what we've learned is that experience helps. And they have 1 year of playoff experience now with all of them. But having an NFL veteran there, you miss out on Haniger or you lose out on Haniger in part ways this offseason. Obviously, TBD, he hasn't signed anywhere. But having guys like Colton Wong, who have been there before, for instance, obviously they don't have Carlos Santana here, but I think Santana was a huge part of like the culture shift that they had with Scott Servais saying that, was it Carlos Santana who was saying like, why don't you guys celebrate wins?
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that are huge.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, Colton can bring to the table with his play. You know, he's been there, he's done that, he's been around the block, he's learned from the veterans, some OGs, so it's all about passing down that knowledge and contributing. I think he'll do both.
All right. Can the Seahawks win with this defense? That's coming up at 1. We're opening up phone lines. We're going to talk defense, whether or not any of it matters. You can sound off about the defense. And most importantly, we're going to answer that question. Before we get to it, though, let's talk about what caught our eye. That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, taking a look around the NFL in 15 minutes. And then later up, we're taking your calls in about a half hour. Right now, though, it's what caught my eye, taking a look at the little moments, the stats, the things that stand out. Bump, get us started.
First thing that caught my eye, 127-128.
Oh, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf?
Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf both went off yesterday. Lockett got the party going with the first touchdown. DK kicked everybody out the house with the last touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it on Jalen Ramsey. These two are quietly having a really good season. Now, they're not going to be amongst the leaders in the league when it comes to yards simply because of the way this offense works. It's not a banger bus offense. It said, all right, let's grind it out. Let's put some drives together. Let's run the football. And then every now and then, guys are going to have big games. So 127, 128, both had a touchdown. That's what I saw.
All right. I'm going to tack on some defensive stuff with what caught my eye. I've got a lot of stats to cover here, so I'm jumping right to it. Uchenna Nwosu. Now, he had been a big part of the defensive, I don't know, do we call it resurgence over the last 4 weeks? Or just when they had a stretch of a great month, Uchenna Nwosu was a big part of what was making them excel with that pass rush. Then he got kind of quiet. Not just him, though, the rest of the pass rush. They didn't sack Tom Brady. They only had one sack across two games and something like two quarterback hits. Like, they just weren't getting any pressure whatsoever. To see two sacks for Uchenna Nwosu, but not only that, one for Jordan Brooks, one for Daryl Taylor. The team as a whole got four sacks. a huge improvement. I know there's lots of, like, ugly to take from the defensive performance. That's not one of them.
No, Uchenna was actually my key hawk.
Yeah?
I said, look, for these guys to win, Uchenna's going to have two sacks. He did exactly that. So good for you, Uchenna. But, yeah, he's the guy on that defensive line who can really get after the quarterback. I think other guys have the ability but just haven't been able to do it. So Uchenna's going to make this thing go. He is the emotional leader out there, very emotional, very passionate. And all we got to do is play games in L.A. and we're good to go. Did you know?
Problem solved in Arizona.
Did you know that the Hawks now have the same amount of wins in SoFi as the Rams and the Chargers? Both of them have two wins in their own house. The Hawks have two at SoFi as well.
What?
That's disrespectful.
Ain't Wait, it? hang on. Like,
for the
like
year.
This
Just
year?
This year.
The Rams, oh yeah, because they only have, what are they, three wins, four yeah, wins? Three
two wins at
nine.
Home. Chargers have two wins at home. Hawks have two wins at SoFi.
Dang.
Disrespectful.
It's disrespectful. That's real disrespectful. The only plus would have been if the Rams won, technically Detroit has their pick from Matthew Stafford, so Seattle continues to pop up, but I think that pick's still four. I think Seattle's hold and steady at three. What you want is Chicago to start winning.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they couldn't do it against Green Bay, but man, Rams, tough this year. Tough year. What else you got?
367. The amount of yards Geno passed for.
Okay.
It is a career high. This guy's doing things he's never done before. Multiple touchdown games. He has the most in the NFL. He has the most consecutive touchdowns, multiple touchdown games in the NFL. And he just set a career high. He also set a career high with his career passing yards. What, 31, 67, I think, something like that. That's what he has so far for the year. That's good enough for fifth in the NFL. Geno Smith is just playing some good football right now. It's fun to see. He bounces back from every mistake that he makes. And he's leading the squad.
I was going to say, it's also the week after he had, what, 350-plus against the Raiders? So you've got back-to-back weeks where he's been great. Really, he's had two games where he struggled.
Yep.
The first three quarters against Tampa Bay, and obviously the entirety of the offense struggled against San Francisco, which, as we know now, is one of the better defenses in the NFL. So I'll let that one slide. And I wonder if the offense, you know, were they to take on San Francisco this week or next week, would fare a lot better now that they're gelling a little bit more. Man, Geno's just... The only thing they need to clean up is turnovers.
Yep.
And they don't have a lot of them. They have a positive turnover differential, but you get one or two of those turnovers back, I'd easily be one or two more scores. Because when they're driving, I see no reason that they can't continue to convert and get into the end zone.
No, I think this week they were in the red, I believe, when it comes to turnovers. What, they only had one interception and then two turnovers on offense. So, yeah. They just got to clean that up, man. They clean that up. They're already a good football team. They can be even better than, of course, stop that run.
Also say that they were 2-4 in the red zone, which is pretty good, 50%. The Chiefs really struggled in the red zone against the Rams. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to take away from the offensive performance by saying, oh, it was the Rams. They've really struggled. They've been great against the run, and they've been really good in the red zone, even against the best offense in the league. So props to the Seahawks for this one. All right. Once again, a weird call went against Seattle. You know whose knee was on that ground?
Tony.
You know who was possessing the ball in that moment, who caught the ball? It was done. It was not a pick. It was not an interception. I stand by that belief. And you know what? I want nothing but the best for Bobby Wagner, but that stat line should not include a pick. I'm sorry. That was a bad call.
That was a horrible call. That knee was down. It's almost like these referees don't just call the obvious. I even think Rams fans were like, yeah, that's probably...
You mean they try to make it too complicated?
Yeah, they're like, don't overcomplicate this stuff. Like, if you... Here's the messed up part is that it was called an interception on the field. So then, once they make that call, they're scared to overturn anything. Like, oh my God, we made the call. We don't want to flip anything. But you're watching the same replay we are watching. And 75% of the people I know thought that was not an interception. Tony's knee was down. They're going to say the ball was still moving. Yeah, it was moving after his knee touched the ground. For sure it was moving after that. But when his knee hit the ground, they just make it too complicated. I don't understand it. I need answers.
This is actually more egregious. Not over the top, but this to me was you had the... Not just the DK catch, which I thought was a catch, but could kind of see. It was. Did you think that was a catch against the Raiders, DK's non-catch?
Yeah, I did.
Then there was also the Josh Jones fumble that I assumed would be in Seattle's favor. They just keep getting some bad luck calls, and you just kind of wonder, like, if that drive goes, do they get a touchdown, and is it more than a one score game? Like, do you feel differently about this game heading out of it? It's the same thing with the Raiders. If that Josh Jones turnover is ruled a fumble, do you feel differently about that game? Does it
Josh
end up
Jacobs.
Being a Josh Jacobs? Sorry, does it end up being a win for Seattle? There's just been some unlucky calls, about three or four unlucky calls for Seattle over the last 2 weeks.
The thing about football is that you never know, right? It never comes down to one play, but one play can influence the next three or four plays. And when you're playing in tight games like the Seahawks find themselves playing in, those plays mean a lot more than they would if it was in a blowout or a game that wasn't that close. So it's unfortunate, man. I feel like the referees get it wrong more often than they get it right.
Yeah.
And what the heck is replay for if we're just going to keep getting it wrong?
All right, we have time for one more.
Right.
Do you have one?
Here's my number. 5 for 10.
Wait, let me guess. 5 for 10.
Third down.
Curtis, you didn't let me guess.
No, I'm never going to
let. Is it third down?
It's third down.
Yes.
Yeah.
5 for 10 on third down.
Always compete.
They've been 42% throughout the year, so that has been an improvement. Last week, I believe they were 33%.
Mm-hmm.
So they made an improvement there, and a lot of it was because Geno just hanging in the pocket and making some plays and finding yourself some third and shorts. Good offenses are typically good on third down. So, again, you put up 27 points, you put up a bunch of yards, the run game isn't great, but you still find a way to be efficient on third down. That's a number I look at every single week to let me know, at least give me an idea of if this offense is moving the football down the field at a high clip. You look at the Los Angeles Rams, they were 30% on third down. So, yes, the defense gave up a bunch of run yards, but when it was time to make a play on third, they did it more often than not.
And I guess I'm trying to find little silver linings because, again, coming up in about 20 minutes now, we're going to open up the phone lines and talk about the defense. We're going to have a lot of bad things to say. So I want to make sure in this moment, while we're talking about things that caught our eye, to acknowledge some of those things where it's like, okay, they did buckle down here, or okay, they did get those sacks. It's the run game continues to kill me. But again, we're going to get to that in 20 minutes. There was some good to take from it, which I can't tell if I'm just saying that to make myself feel better or if it's legit. I don't know, Bump. I don't know. We're going to get to a conversation about the defense at one. We're going to take a break from the Seahawks to take a look around the rest of the league. We have an injury we're tracking in Baltimore that could shape the powers that be in the AFC North as we near the end of the season. Some big playoff implications here. Plus, is Baker Mayfield going to land with the 49ers? What's the power balance in the NFC West now? That's all coming up next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, coming up at 1, we're opening up phone lines. Your question, so that you have 15 minutes to think about it, can the Seahawks make the playoffs with this defense? Think about your answer. Get ready to call in 15. Let's take a look around the NFL, though. Basically, we're looking back at week 13, some of the biggest news to come out of this weekend's games. We'll start in Baltimore, where Lamar Jackson is looking unlikely to start against the Steelers this weekend. He has a knee injury that isn't believed to be season-ending, but the team doesn't fully know everything yet. He's having additional imaging. They're going to know more by Wednesday how long he'll be sidelined. The Ravens and Bengals, Bump, are both 8-4 in the AFC North right now. Looks like the Bengals are being gifted a potential shot here to pull ahead, despite just being dealt a loss.
Bengals are making me eat my words. I say, you know what? They're not going to do much this year. That Super Bowl hangover is going to be real. What have they done? They've won 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row. The biggest one beating Kansas City. You know what? It's getting real. They could potentially win this division. And what a turnaround would that be? You come out losing your first two games. You start off the season, you're 2-3. People like myself are writing you off, but you know who you got over there? You got cool Joe Burrow, who continues to make plays and be considered one of the best quarterbacks in this league. Number two statistically when you look at him behind Patrick Mahomes.
Baker Mayfield requested that trade in Carolina this morning. Initially, it was just that the Panthers were going to release him. Reports have since come out that Baker requested the trade himself. It allows him to obviously become a free agent, decide where he's going to sign. Where do you think he ends up? What are some quarterback needy teams? Or do you think he's done? I cannot believe he's absolutely done. He was just playing.
Someone
has some quarterback depth issues.
He'll be somewhere. That's how this league goes. Once you've shown that you can start for a few years, you can milk 10 to 12 years out this league if you are a quarterback. The Texans could use him. The Colts could use him. I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints bring him in for a look. The Niners could use him. The Broncos could use him. No, I'm just playing. I ain't going to the Broncos. But, yeah, there are a few teams. He'll be on a roster somewhere, whether it be this year or at the start of next year. Baker Mayfield isn't going anywhere. We just won't see him as a starter.
The Raiders are now winners of three in a row. Davante Adams caught eight passes for 177 and two touchdowns. Does it make you feel a little bit better about that loss in overtime, knowing that they have won their other two, or won three in a row, two matches on either side, and that Davante Adams has, over a stretch of four games, only one game without over 100 receiving yards, and it was against you?
Nope, don't feel better.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay. Okay.
86 yards, overtime, touchdown, Josh
doesn't
Jacobs.
Help. Doesn't help.
No, nope, still hurts.
A.J. Brown got his revenge game when the Philadelphia Eagles took on the Titans. Eight catches on 10 targets for 119 yards and two touchdowns. Man, if I'm a Tennessee fan, do I miss A.J. Brown.
You know what people really care about? My fantasy football team.
Yeah, we all do. But, Bumps, do you have A.J. Brown?
A.J. really contributed
this
week.
Very happy for you.
You know, we had a meeting before the game, and I said, listen, A.J., you're going back home. This is the team that gave an opportunity. I need you to show them what's up. And he said, you know what, coach? I got you. So, A.J., do your thing. One of his touchdowns was ridiculous. Like, there's a guy holding on to him. He can't even extend his arms. Great throw by Jalen Hurts. Puts it right in the bucket. A.J. Brown, man, one of the best.
Just show him all the bulletin board material that Mike Lefkoe said about him over the years.
All of it. I said, this guy
Lefkoe. Resident Titans fan.
You know, this guy Lefkoe, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
I'm
playing Lefkoe. Love you, baby. Love you.
I'm up by 3 points. My opponent has one player left to play. Tom Brady. I think I can hang on. I think I can hang on. You know what I mean? You really never know. I mean, you could get negative points.
60 yards passing?
Yeah. I think they can hold him to that.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
That Saints defense, man. Shut down defense. I believe in them. Can I tell you about the fantasy team I told my friend to draft? I drafted him like an all-failure fantasy team. I was like, take Russell Wilson and Justin Herbert. I thought they'd be big passing. That's tight end, Kyle Pitts. Travis Kelce was taken, to be fair.
Pitts gone for the season now, right?
Yep. Running back, I had a Breece Hall. And
Breece was balling. Did you say Jonathan Taylor too?
I said the Bills defense. I said Jonathan Taylor. I did say Jonathan Taylor. I had him take a Cortland Sutton, I think, at the time. Maybe Jerry Jeudy. It was like an all bad fantasy football, like a historically horrible fantasy football draft.
Week one, that sounds awesome.
It was a great draft in the moment.
But he got graded an A.
That's what I'm saying. All right. The Green Bay Packers got a win over the Chicago Bears as if it was ever in doubt. Well, we were kind of hoping it was in doubt because the Chicago Bears are holding on to that second pick. And all they need to do is finish with a better record than the Broncos. Both teams lost this weekend, though. So the Chicago Bears for right now are holding strong at 3-10 with the second overall pick. Green Bay 28-19 gets the win over this one.
Aaron Rodgers, 18 of 31, 182, one touchdown. He said in a press conference, he goes, yeah, I bet Chicago fans felt good when it was 19-10. He goes, so did I. Then he goes out there. It still owns the Chicago Bears, man. I feel bad for these guys. Justin Fields is having, he has his moments, right? He looks good at times. He has six carries for 71 yards, one touchdown, but did throw two interceptions. But he was 20 of 25 for 254. Like, I feel like Justin Fields is on the cusp of being a really good player. He just needs more help.
All right. Mike White, not as magical in this one. The Jets fell to the Vikings. Mike White was picked off twice and had 26 incomplete passes. Do you think there's ever a point where the New York Jets, who right now are 7-5, decide to put Zach Wilson back in if it starts costing them games? White is 1-for-1 as a reliever of Zach.
I think he has one more loss.
One more start.
But they asked this man to throw the ball 57 times. Like, come on, man. You got to have established some type of run game. They rushed it 24 times for $120. But yeah, when you ask him to throw it 57 times, this guy doesn't have a lot of experience. He's going to struggle a little bit.
All right, well, the Denver Broncos at 3-9 couldn't muster double-digit points against the Baltimore Ravens. Again, the Ravens currently dealing with bigger issues. That being, is Lamar Jackson going to be okay? We covered that story a couple minutes ago. Let's look at the Denver Broncos, though. They're holding the third overall pick, a.k.a. Seattle's holding the third overall pick, and that offense continues to struggle, despite the fact that the defense bounced back after an overtime loss to the Raiders a couple weeks ago, held the Ravens to 10 points.
Here's the thing.
Not enough.
The Broncos changed their approach. They said, all right, Russ, you're going to throw it 22 times.
Yep.
He only had five incompletions, 189 yards. They ran the ball 28 times. When it comes down to it, if you can't score touchdowns, you're not going to win many games. 3 points is not enough. If I'm on this Broncos defense, this is the most frustrated I've ever been in my life, because you are top of the leagues when it comes to a lot of categories. All you needed was 11 points to win a game.
Nope.
And you could not do it.
You needed. I mean, you could just do it through field goals if you wanted to.
One more field goal.
That's it.
You score. They hit a field goal every quarter except for the fourth. Just hit one more field goal.
I never saw them being as historically bad as they are. It continues to just like, wait, 9 points again? It's not even the first time they've only scored 9 points.
It's bad.
Man. It's all bad. All right, that'll do it for NFL headlines. It's Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Your question, get ready to call in. Can the Seahawks make the playoffs with this defense? Can the Seahawks make the playoffs? Are you willing to stake your claim with this defense, or do they need to get right? Call in 866-979-3776. Again, that number, 866-979-3776. Can the Seahawks make the playoffs with this defense? Your call's next.